Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Aftermarket's premier podcast. Carm Capriotto here. How are you? Hey, one thing I hear from my listener is you allow the podcast to help you and to help broaden your horizons. So glad to hear that. Now, if you're not listening mobile, get on board with a free listening app like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and even Amazon Music, among others. Go to remarkableresults.biz/listen so you can download an app. And have fun with your smart speakers, too. Now, on my Google speaker, I just ask Google to play Remarkable Results Radio Podcast, and presto, there they are. Hey, I'm with Dave Kusa, shop owner at Auto Trend Diagnostics, San Francisco, California. Dave's also past president of ASECA and a part-time business coach. With an interesting twist on our format here, I call 20 questions in 30 minutes. Dave picks from a list of 70 questions, and you'll learn or affirm some really neat things that are very personal to Dave. Hey, have you taken my survey? Well, it's provided me some great guidance on what you'd like to hear. We're 5 years in, consistently presenting podcasts each week, 800-plus episodes, 475-plus hours of content, and I'd like to know how we're doing. Please go to remarkableresults.biz/survey, or there's a link on my homepage. Thanks for giving me just a few minutes of your valuable time to complete the survey. Hey, before we jump into 20 questions in 30 minutes with Dave Kusa, let me thank Napa Pro Image for their continued support. Remarkable Results Radio is proud to partner with Napa Auto Care in the upcoming 2021 Napa Expo. Join Napa in Las Vegas, February 1st through the 4th, 2021, and discover the latest innovations in the auto care industry. Cutting-edge stuff. This is an event you just don't want to miss. Contact your Napa store to learn more. Hey, pull up a chair and listen or recommend us to a friend. Now that's how our influence grows.
Have more of a ownership mentality and will be a little more cognizant of the fact, going back to, you know, why do I care about that can of brake clean? Why do I care about that nut and bolt? Why should I write that down? Right? Well, because at the end of the day, it can be the difference between net profit or no net profit.
Hey, more with Dave Kusa in just 1 minute. Now don't forget to watch the Aftermarket's most fun live video show. Yes, you can watch it on aftermarketweekly.com and see all the archived episodes. So much to see from the weekly shop tours. You'll just love them. Now, why don't you just binge on the old episodes? Catch up, just like you do on Netflix. Hey, we constantly add to the books page. Remember, leaders are readers. And when a book is mentioned on the podcast, we deliberately post it on the books page. That's remarkableresults.biz/books, or find the books tab on the homepage menu. Hey, find the key talking points with Dave Kusa at remarkableresults.biz/A583. Hey, a warm welcome to my friend Dave Kusa from California, Auto Trend Diagnostics in San Fran. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Carm. How are you?
Good, man. Nice to see you. You're also a part-time coach.
I am.
Man, it's just the trend. It's amazing. You know, we've been talking an awful lot on the show about succession planning, internal candidates, family. I don't think we can talk enough about it. Think about the average age of the shop owner and or the technician today. And what's really cool about you is you went to work for Auto Trend Diagnostics, and then 2 years later, you bought the place.
That's correct. Absolutely.
You were an internal candidate, huh?
Yes. Not by design, kind of by accident, but it worked out that way.
We did a great episode a while back, and you know, thank you so much for all the things that you've done on the podcast. You and I, in some form or fashion, either panel or one-on-one, have been in seven episodes, so thank you for that.
Yeah, seven, really, wow.
Yeah, seven, yeah, I know. This makes eight. So we're here to do a 20 questions in 30 minutes, the new format. Dave said, oh, that would be a lot of fun, and I think you all know by now that I submit about 70 questions to my guests, and they struggle picking 20 that we can talk about in the podcast. First question for Dave is the biggest trend you're watching right now, Dave?
Well, up until today or yesterday, it was automatic driver assist systems, autonomous vehicles. And then now in California, we just found out that the governor is trying to mandate no petroleum-powered vehicles sold in California by 2035. So there's another trend that we're going to have to watch and deal with. I think it goes hand in hand with the ADAS and the autonomous type vehicles. So you know, these areas are going to be game changers for our industry, being able to properly diagnose, repair, calibrate, helping our customers understand the importance of their function and why they should function. So, you know, there's some good training out there now. We just had a great training with Scott Brown a couple weeks ago with ASCCA. So, you know, my advice is you know, get used to this stuff. It's not going away. Learn how to deal with it, because when it shows up at your shop, you want to be able to say, yes, we can fix that.
A great organization out in California, ASCCA. Love that group. I've interviewed so many of your members. I'm sure they're going to stay on top of this. And you had just mentioned the governor is proposing. Does that mean it's law yet, or is he going to force it through?
Good question. I don't know what it's going to look like yet. This is one of those things that just kind of popped up yesterday. So I'm sure there will be a lot of chatter going forward. The legislative body is out of session right now. So, you know, there is no introduced legislation, but I'm sure, you know, it seems like it would have to be a legislative action.
So he's stirring the pot.
Always.
Question number two, David, how did you decide to become a shop owner?
So oddly enough, I'm one of those people that way back in high school, I kind of knew what I wanted to do. I was always interested in taking things apart. And my mom said, you should learn how to put them back together. So I did, because I, you know, I had a bedroom full of stuff taken apart. So decided that, you know, I enjoyed working with my hands and working with vehicles. So, you know, I kind of knew early on I would be a mechanic at the time, you know, auto technician now. And my goal in high school was to be a shop owner. So I am literally living the dream.
You're living your dream. And,
right.
And you discovered it at a very young age, right?
Yeah, I did.
Are you still happy?
Yeah, it depends on the day. But yeah. I mean, obviously, we have our challenges currently, right?
Very, very good answer. And question number three is, do you still have the fire you had when you first started?
You know, I don't. And I don't think it's actually a bad thing. I think that, you know, when you first get into business for yourself, or anything new for that matter, right? You're fired up, you're enthusiastic, it's new. You discover so many new things and so many new problems to solve. And I think as time goes on, we get a little bit more wise. And, you know, we've come up with solutions for so many of the problems we faced. And as new problems arise, it's okay, not that big a deal. I know I can handle this. I can solve this. So wisdom maybe quiets that fire a little bit. I think it's always got to be there, right? You always have to be prepared for accepting new things and looking forward to new things. So I think in that respect, the fire is still there, but not that initial, you know, oh my God, I'm so excited, this is crazy idea thing.
Got it. Thank you. Was there a key turning point in your journey that made all the difference to get where you are today?
Around the time my parents were retiring, obviously their friend group is all the same age, right? And I saw so many, you know, I'll call them my parents' friends, even though they were my friends too, you know, retiring and then selling their homes here in the Bay Area, cashing out and, you know, moving to points afar. Some were moving because they wanted to, some be moving because they had to. And that was a big aha for me. It's like, you know, at some point in time, when I want you to stay here in the Bay Area, but you know, who knows 20 years from now if that's still the case. But if I don't want to be here, I want to go somewhere I want to go. I don't want to leave here because I have to, because I can't afford it, right? Because I don't have enough money to retire.
Yeah, you know, those are decisions that a lot of us don't have to make.
Yeah. I mean, you know, around here, right? I mean, you know, housing prices are extraordinary. Everything's expensive. So it takes a little bit of extra planning to make sure, hopefully, that you can retire where you want, when you want.
So an example, I bought a $250,000 house 20 years ago. What's it worth today out there?
20 years? Oh, well, I mean, a good example for me, my house is just a house, right? It's a three-bedroom, two-bath, 1,900 square foot, 5,000 square foot, just a house built in the 50s. It's worth $1.8
million.
$1.8 million today.
As I picked myself up off the studio floor, question number five, David, ever had a mentor?
Yes, I have many mentors, and I would count you among them. So it is so important, I think, to seek out people that have been there, know some answers that can help and help us learn and teach. I think a lot of times as business owners, specifically shop owners, we think that we're by ourselves, we're on an island, and it's absolutely not true. There are so many smart people that want to help, are willing to help. And I think you need to seek those people out.
Good for you. Great answer. And thank you for that compliment. Now, do you have a strong intuition, Dave?
I think so.
Yeah. Part two of the question, do you listen to it?
I do. Yeah. I mean, it that gut feeling kind of thing, right? I mean, many decisions are made quickly because you have no choice, right? I would prefer, and I often do, analyze things sometimes too long. You know, when I got to make a move, I make a move. And sometimes you just have to go with what your gut tells you. And usually it's right.
I have that thing, that intuition thing. And I had to one day learn to accept it as part of my decision-making process, part of my feeling process. You know, logical mind, left brain, right brain stuff. And that ended up becoming like one of those third wheels in a decision thing. So how do you really feel about that, Carm? And that was my intuition talking to me. So I can so relate to that. Thank you for that. Get any great advice that you still follow today?
I do, from one of my many mentors, Larry Moore. He is I know you've talked to Larry. He's been on a few shows, I'm sure. So he's a retired shop owner from the Bay Area here in San Jose, or Mountain View. Two great pieces of advice from him were, when I first bought my shop, like most people, right? I'm a technician. I'm good at what I do. I've always wanted to be a shop owner. The opportunity presented itself. So I used my intuition and jumped right in. And it's like, uh-oh. I don't really know how to run a shop, right? I'm a year into this and we're making some money, but what's next? So how do I grow? How do I get bigger and better at what I do? You know, ASCCI had joined Automotive Service Councils of California, a very strong chapter here in San Jose. And Larry is one of the many people I met. And the first piece of advice he had given me was get training, right? Learn how to run a business, right? You're a great tech. Now you need to be a great shop owner. So I did, took his advice on that. And then another piece of advice that I still use today from him is he says facetiously and jokingly that, you know, everything he knows he stole from somebody else. So I'll use borrow, but he always had permission, right? So, but yeah, I learned from him. And he actually, you know, I actually stole a couple things from him with his permission, that, you know, marketing ideas, ways to grow the business, things like that. Right. And that's that circles back to that mentor question where, you know, there's so many smart people out there that want to help. And Larry was one of them, is one of them.
Great, great story. Thank you for that. And the first time I heard about R&D was from Frank Skandura a bunch of years ago, and that was rip off and duplicate.
Uh-huh.
and let me tell you, I don't think there's any brand new idea created. I think you take those, you make hybrids of them, you know, that work in your world, your business, your situation. And now you've got something new to you that could have been old for someone else.
Right, exactly.
Great advice. Hey, name something you tried that didn't work, Dave.
Before I came to work for AutoTrend, I had one of the guys that I used to work with back in Sunnyvale. He and I, it's a very long story, but he and I decided we were going to, you know, go out and buy a shop together as partners. The shop that we were going to buy turned out to be a huge disaster. You know, at the time, you know, extraordinarily painful, very hard to deal with. You know, it was such a blow to have this great plan that I've been thinking since high school fall apart under my feet, right? So turned out it was a good thing. That was something that didn't work out so well.
Trust me, you learned from that one, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. That's education you can't pay for.
Question number 9, Dave. How do you manage work-life harmony?
I had seen so many shop owners, you know, a couple of guys I had worked for that, you know, 14, 15 hours a day, you know, complaining they're not making any money, but they're at the shop, you know, from sunup till sundown. The old joke, I only work half time, right? 12 hours a day. This was in 2001 when we bought the shop. So had two young daughters in elementary school. I had been coaching both on and off in soccer, you know, every other year kind of thing. Wanted to continue doing that. Wanted to be able to participate in the events at schools and Girl Scouts and, you know, go see their gymnastics performance and didn't want to miss any of that. So had a long talk with my wife, Judy, before we ultimately pulled the trigger on this and said, you know, we're going to be 8 to 5. I don't want to be be that guy, right, that misses everything, that's here 7 days a week, all day, every day. So, you know, we're going to figure out how to make this work. Now, could we have made more money? Sure, right? Absolutely. But we're going to figure out how to make this work, you know, 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. And for the most part, it worked pretty good. She's very frugal and we're both very hard workers. So we managed to function through that. And I think that's a distinct decision that everybody should try and make.
You got to work it. That's the key.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to work it to make it work. You can't neglect the spouse or the kids.
Most important thing to me.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, Dave shares his big secret to building a strong relationship with his customers. Hey, it's Carm here, talking to you about what the Napa Auto Care Center program can do for your business. Now, you probably already know the Napa brand is the most recognized and trusted name in the automotive aftermarket industry. In fact, studies show that 95% of consumers recognize Napa and associate it with quality parts, service, and technical expertise. So why not complete a Pro Image upgrade and take advantage of that? Pro Image is a co-branding program for the exterior and interior of your shop. On the outside, it includes the Napa colors and distinctive Napa signage. While the public may know you as a reliable, locally owned business, a Pro Image upgrade helps set your shop apart from the competition even further. It's also a visual signal to customers and potential customers that you and Napa are partners. Most importantly, Pro Image really works. This co-branding opportunity has helped Napa Auto Care Centers across the country increase their car counts and sales. In fact, those that have completed a Pro Image project enjoy an average 23% sales increase during the first year. Pro Image upgrades are also available for the interior of your shop. A Pro Image interior upgrade transforms your customer waiting area from merely utilitarian to warm and welcoming. The goal is to maintain your shop's independent identity while enhancing the customer's experience. You can get a free look at what a Pro Image exterior and interior upgrade could look like by visiting the Napa Auto Care member site and clicking on the Napa Pro Image link under the Napa Pro Image tab. Or contact your local Napa Auto Parts store. Your servicing Napa store can tell you more about Pro Image, plus the hundreds of other reasons to become part of the Napa Auto Care family, the largest network of independent automotive repair shops in the country. How does one start to build a strong business culture?
From inside you, as the business owner, you have to make sure you understand the direction your business wants to go, your strong moral, ethical message, and you have to tell your people about it. Your people have to understand that this is what is acceptable and this is what is not acceptable. And then, of course, you have to stick to that and you have to walk the walk, right? You can't say that this is my culture, this is our culture, and expect them to live it and then not live it yourself. It can be different for every shop, right? It doesn't have to be your culture, doesn't have to be my culture in your shop, right? But in my shop, this is what we do and this is how we do it. And this is how we're going to continue to do it.
Dave, strong teams always win. What's your winning formula for developing strong teams?
I think it goes back to the culture. Most people want to contribute. They just don't want to be told what to do. So that's part of our culture is, you know, collaboration, contribution. Tell me what we can do better, right? I have that conversation all the time. You know, ultimately, my name's on the wall, so we're going to do what I say, but I want to know what everybody thinks, right? Because I don't know everything. I think that's a big part of building a strong team is having everybody included in as many processes as possible.
Have you ever implemented somebody's idea and what happens?
Absolutely, yeah. So my shop typically runs with two technicians and a service advisor. So at the time we had just one tech. So it was easy to keep track of parts. Well, now we bring back in a second tech. We're very busy. Parts are coming and going. Everybody's, where's my parts? Where's my parts? I don't know where your parts are. You know, returns are sitting for months and not getting sent back, you know, all those things. So one of my guys said, hey, here's what I've been thinking about doing. He actually wrote down, he created the procedure for how we were going to make sure that everybody knew that where parts were in the work process. And it was very successful. We still do it today.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Would your organization crumble if you stepped aside?
Maybe in a few months with my, some of the coaching that I do, my involvement in the industry association. I am often not in the shop for, half a day, a full day, 2-3 days at a time, things like that. So my team is strong and definitely, can keep the day-to-day operations going. They are not tasked with, and I won't task them with it because it's not their job of the administrative processes of running a business. So if something happens and I was, in the hospital for 2 weeks or a month, everybody would carry on. If I, fell off a cliff and disappeared in a few months, it would be a big struggle. And that is something constantly working on, right? Constantly trying to get somebody to backstop me if it needed.
I've heard so much about that. Who pays the bills? Who signs the checks? All of that stuff is that disaster plan. Not enough of us have them.
I mean, I do have that written down, right? If, you know, people could get passwords and know, you know, who to pay, when to pay, that kind of thing. But nobody except me does it. So there would be a big learning curve.
What impact will technology have on your business?
Just across the board, back to the ADAS, autonomous vehicles, electric vehicles. You know, as everybody knows, you know, what we start here in California typically ends up across the country. So, you know, eventually people will jump on if we actually have this EV mandate by 2035, right? The most populous state, we have the most vehicle sales. So it will drive the manufacturers who are behind this, by the by, it will drive them to keep making more and more EVs, less and less internal combustion. The biggest scare to me is where's our service opportunity in an electric vehicle, right? How we have to discover that. We have to stay ahead of that curve because obviously you don't need an oil change with an electric vehicle. So that technology is going to be, it's a sea change.
Incredible ramifications. And before we turned on the recorder, Dave and I were just ranting with each other about this whole EV thing. And you know, I actually asked him, maybe we need to get together with some of the California shop operators and, you know, get it down on tape. And let's just go on record to say we need to think down the road a little further now than we would normally think. Question 14, how much training per year do you get?
Constant. I work with a coach and we meet twice a month. So that, you know, that's always ongoing. And then I learn so much from the shops that I work with, as well as, you know, I'm there to coach, mentor, consult with them, but it's definitely a two-way street. So that's a constant ongoing thing. And then, you know, again, with ASCCA, always doing some sort of training once a week, once every other week. We're, you know, now that everybody's on Zoom, you know, my monthly chapter meeting, we always have a speaker that's not necessarily automotive related, but business related. So, you know, learning things there. And then, so me ongoing constantly, my technicians, 12 hours per quarter is part of their pay structure. So, but again, they're ongoing too, right? They're always learning and looking and reading. And
what a great organization ASCCA does in the training that they bring to their members. It's just outstanding. A couple of great organizations in the U.S. that do that so, so well. And comment on what you said about, you know, working with clients of yours, other shop owners, and how much you learn from them. When you teach, you learn. I've discussed this quite a lot on the podcast over the last 5 years, and it always happened to me as when I was in corporate America, and I did a lot of that, you would get so much smarter in the area that you're supposed to be learned and expert at. And you, all of a sudden, you have these outer body moments, and you reinvent yourself that you can also use to help other people. So if you've got that learned mind and you're teaching, you're always improving. Good stuff. Hey, big secret to building a strong relationship with clients.
Communication. When I am on the phone, which I'm not as much as I used to be, right? But in a sense, you know, Jose's on my manager and he's our main, you know, man up front. So there were so many times that I would get a call from a new client. They had an issue. They wanted to, they couldn't understand. So they're calling me saying how much to replace my, whatever it might be. So we would have that conversation. And turns out that the main reason they're calling is they didn't understand what the other shop, usually the dealer, unfortunately, but what the other shop was asking them to do for a very large amount of money. You know, having a conversation, communicating, you know, not using big words, taking a few minutes and helping the customer understand is huge, right? And it works. Even so important with our existing customers and clients. I often get accused of, as you're seeing right now, talking too much, but I think that it's important to talk more than you think you should. Maybe more than you think the client wants to hear so that they're comfortable.
You know, there's nothing wrong with over communication, but sometimes our message doesn't get through. I was talking to Chris Clodia the other day, and he says, we're just acronymed to death. You know, we give acronyms to people, and we're assuming that they know what it is that we're talking about. And the other thing is how that final invoice gets worded out. So if you're closing it off with the customer and they're going to read it, they should read it in plain language so they get a real good feel about it. You know, I hate to use the word dumb it down, but I think that's what you're kind of saying. Bring it down to the customer's level so they can appreciate what it is that you did.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, flip it around, right? You know, if you were at the doctor and, you know, the doctor was explaining something you needed and was using big words and you know, acronyms and stuff like that, you would not be comfortable with that explanation. So it's the same thing. Normal everyday words, right? And back to the invoice, I think that's, you know, super important too. Our standard rule is a dollar a word, right? So if it's $1,000, if I want you to give me $1,000, I need to tell you about 1,000 words on why, what we did.
That's a great, great tip. I love that. Everyone write that down and start doing it. Question 16, Dave, a secret to a good job interview.
When we're doing an interview, we do it as a team. So I have, I have Kevin and Jose with me when we do the interview. You know, I'm asking the questions mostly, but they, you know, they get their chance, right? Because normally in the hiring process right now, it's a technician. Everybody has to be comfortable on the same page. We have to, again, that culture, we have to have a sense of this person is going to buy into our culture. I've made enough mistakes in the past by not including my team in that process that I've learned to include my team in that process. When it's time for compensation, right, that's a one-to-one conversation. But, you know, just to ask the questions that we would normally ask in an interview, having the team there, I think is super important. I think that helps make a good interview.
Does it make the interviewee comfortable that there's techs in the room with them?
I've never got a real sense that somebody was uncomfortable, but I think if they were, that's a red flag, right? If they can't communicate with strangers.
You know, and the really cool thing about that is the people that are in the room with you, be it now face-to-face or Zoom, however you're going to do it, get a sense and a feel of who the team is that they're going to work with.
It works both ways, yeah.
Good for you. Question 17, share a gross margin hack.
In my coaching part of it, right, you know, where I see issues where, you know, California, we can't charge for shop supplies. So, you know, if we're going to have a can of brake clean, we have to list it on the invoice as a can of brake clean. So, you know, those types of things, right? The little scrubbing discs when you're cleaning up a cylinder head, chemical cleaners, nuts and bolts, you know, tie straps, you know, all of these things that cost a nickel that you should be selling for 25 cents adds up, right? And, you know, $100 here, $100 there, all of a sudden you're talking about real money. So making sure that, you know, all the parts are on the invoice, including the supplies that we use. And you can kit it out. I mean, there's ways to do it that it doesn't make it so overwhelming that you just won't do it. But that's important. And then for us, parts matrix and labor matrix, right? I mean, we're looking at both, we're adjusting both. If we see our parts GP is starting to slip, we take a look at our parts mix. Why is that? You know, so ongoing monitoring of your margins is a big deal. People just don't look at them. They forget about them.
Sounds like all the right things. Hey, question 18, do you share your financial statements with your team? And if yes, why?
I do. The main reason is that, you know, everybody, you know, we have a shop hourly rate, right? Everybody has one. Sometimes there's a variety of them, but there is one. And usually everybody knows what that is. And if they're not familiar with how the business works on a financial aspect, they're like, well, Dave's getting rich, right? Because, you know, they're getting paid a certain number of dollars an hour, and they think everything else is left over to go in my pocket. You know, so understanding a profit loss statement, what is gross profit? You know, what are the expenses, and you know, what should the net profit be? We don't necessarily talk dollars on net profit. You know, that's up to every individual to decide how comfortable they are with that. But there's no reason people can't understand what gross profit is. There's no reason they should not know what the overall expenses of the business are. When service advisors, service managers, technicians understand the financial aspects of the business, they have more of a ownership mentality and will be a little more cognizant of the fact, going back to, you know, why do I care about that can of brake clean? Why do I care about that nut and bolt? Why should I write that down? Right? Well, because at the end of the day, it can be the difference between net profit or no net profit. That understanding, I think, builds that desire to be more of a player with the team.
Let me get into the weeds for a minute. When you show the financials or you show your numbers and you're not showing net, is it easy to figure out what the net is and what's going on in the business, or are you just giving a high-level review?
It starts with a high-level review, you know, the reaction to that dictates whether we get deeper into it. So, you know, and we have a, you know, we have a conversation about NAD, right? I mean, you know, ideally, right, in our business, we're at 20% NAD, right? Super hard to do, but that's the ideal. So, you know, if you're doing $1 million a year, and, you know, people can kind of figure that out pretty easily, $200,000 is 20%. So, oh my God, Dave is getting $200,000 free? Well, no.
The sustaining of the business and buying equipment, all of that stuff and raises, all of that comes from the net. Of course, yeah, there may be something for you in it. It's your hard sweat, your equity, your business, but you cannot sustain the business unless there's a profit.
That's what we talk about, right? Yeah, a portion of that pays me as the business owner, right? I get paid a salary, but a portion of that, it pays me as the owner. I'm taking all the risk. Right. So, you know, they can go get a job tomorrow, right? But yeah, you know, we had to buy a new compressor. Our compressor went up, you know, gave up the ghost. Can we live without an air compressor? No. How does that get paid for, right? If there's no money in the bank, we're taking loans.
Question 19, how long ago did you update your website?
It's usually a yearly thing. I work with Kukui, so that's part of the agreement is, you know, just a review and update once a year as part of, you know, part of our ongoing contract. So I think it is important, right? You know, so things get aged out of date. You know, you got a picture of somebody that hasn't worked for you for 2 years, you know, those kind of things. So yeah, it's important to update them.
Glad to hear that. I believe processes, systems win wars. Most recent thing that you may have updated as far as processes?
We've been struggling a little bit with hours per RO and, you know, trying to figure out where, you know, where's the issue, right? What's holding us back? What came out of that conversation is to, you know, go back and let's look at our processes and procedures now, and let's identify you know, the time wasters, right? Where are we getting, where are we wasting time in this process? And that kind of goes back to that whole parts thing, you know, that we did some time back where, you know, running around looking for my part. Well, if that takes 5 minutes or take 2 minutes, right? If that takes 2 minutes for the four cars you're working on today, you know, do it out, you know, expand that out as time goes by. All of a sudden you're talking hours. And while 2 minutes doesn't seem like a lot, 2 minutes five times, well, that's 10 minutes, right? Would you like to save 10 minutes an hour or 10 minutes a day? Sure. We're looking at, you know, those areas right now of where's our biggest time waster so we can address, you know, we'll start one at a time, right? What's the biggest one we can identify? Let's fix that, move down the list, and ideally we'll, you know, save some more time.
So smart, being kind of lean and you're right, looking at the extra steps. You're so right. Oh my God. I mean, I know a guy who's got the battery charger in a certain place and the ladder in a certain place and the tools in a certain, and it's constitution. They have to, when you're done, it has to be there so that when someone is looking for it, how many times it says, hey, where's that battery charger? Where did it go? And it doesn't have a place. So, you know, those are time wasters.
Back to Larry Moore, you know, big shop, you know, 5-6 technicians. So, you know, everybody had a broom and a mop and a dust bucket and a trash can. And so, you know, everybody had a color, right? So you're the red guy and on the wall is the broom and the mop and the dust bucket and it's painted red. When it's not there, where is it? So
responsible to clean your own area with your own broom and your own mop and your own bucket.
And then go hang it back up so you know where it is again.
I've seen that at big distribution centers and it blew my mind how efficient that they were because, you know, their biggest cost is how quickly they can pull items. And, you know, they have pictures of pallets on the floor and everything that was necessary to be very, very efficient. Dave Kusa, hey man, thanks. 20 questions, 30 minutes. We're a little over, but that's okay. I learned an awful lot of great stuff from you. Dave Kusa from Auto Trend Diagnostics, San Francisco, California. Thanks for being here, man.
Carm, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.